And we have to know who we're serving when we go in battle. And we can't be timid, we can't be shy, we can't be afraid. But we have to be knowledgeable of who we are. We are the children of God. And as the children of God, we're made in his likeness and in his image. And he said the same thing that Jesus did, we can do those greater works also. So you have to remember that when you go to fight and when you get in these battles. Don't be scared. Don't give up. And I sense that a lot of Christians have just quit because they keep seeing people dying and dying, and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are dying a day. And then they wonder, well, where is God? Where is my faith? Well, you just lost it. When you ask those questions, you've just lost it. So, saints of God, I'm telling you how to get in this battle, get your battle plan, and stay in that battle plan. We have to take the word of God. You know, what this scripture is telling us, that God, you know, he can separate our mind, our thoughts, our intellectual intelligence, you know, our reasoning power, our ability, and our mental ability. God can separate all that from our spirit. Now, you know that's impossible here on this earth. That can't be done. All of our capabilities from our spirit, God can separate all of that. Everything that we're capable of doing in the natural, God can separate that from the spirit, from our spirit. That's why the soul has to spend eternity somewhere. The spirit already knows where it's got to go. So, saints of God, we need to practice our battle plan. We need to keep it on, you write it down on a piece of paper and keep it on your desk. Keep it in your mind until it get in your heart. And then you can get up and fight, and you don't need the paper anymore. You know, God knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows those thoughts. He knows what they are. You know, he can also cut between the marrow and the bones. We said that. No surgeon can cut between the marrow and the bones, but our God can. And so I'm just trying to show you this power through the scripture, this power that we have to fight the enemy. You know, ain't no surgeon in the world, no surgeon in the world can cut betwixt the marrow and the bone, but God can. You know, and we need to know this. As we go into battle, we need to know this. You know, our faith, you know, God, he's with us. This is what he says. He's going to be with us, you know. Our faith and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. And that's how God is going to perform all of his works. He's going to perform it through the Spirit, through his word, through the Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit. That's how he's going to perform his word, saints of God. And we have to know this, because if we don't, we'll get discouraged, we'll get despondent, and we'll stop. We'll just stop. And God can't, you can't solve the battle, the coronavirus battle, if you stop. You know, all the power of Satan, God has given us power over all the power of Satan. We need to remember that. You know, we need to go to bed speaking the word of God, and we need to get up speaking the word of God. You know, even if we're going through all kinds of hard trials and hard tribulations, we're going through these things, we need to wake up and we need to be talking to God. Every time we wake up and when we get ready to go to bed, we still need to be talking to God. It's doing the same thing every day. You know, we have the word of God, which is the most powerful weapon that we have, is the word of God. You know, he has all power. Nothing can stand against the power of God. Nothing can stand against the power of God. Devils, demons, Satan, you know, and all the destroying works of the enemy cannot stand against the power of God. We need to know this. We need to understand this. And we need to begin to put it into practice. You know, we need to know that we're never going into a battle alone. God goes before us. That's what he said. He goes before us. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. See, I told you he'll be with us. I will be with thee. Be not dismayed. He don't want you to be fearful or scared. You know, be not dismayed. And he said, for I am thy God. God is our God. He wants us to know this.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want you to turn to a familiar verse of scripture found in Psalms number 133. Psalms number 133. And I simply want to talk about today, what a fellowship. What a fellowship. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. This is a wonderful, rich word that many of us use in welcomes and responses, special days and special programs, and we quote this verse, but there is so much depth and profundity to this verse and the other two verses that follow that I was unctioned to deal with this text because it is so necessary, especially for the church of God, the people of God, to understand how God wants us to dwell together in unity. One of the things God wants us to know is how important unity is in the body of Christ. We have individual parts to the body, but they are all joined in union together. But because they are in union together, it means then that we have a responsibility to operate according to the word, to the will, and to the way of God. It's important for us to recognize, brothers and sisters, that God has called us to a higher standard. We're not like the world. We're not like other organizations. We are an organism. We are a living part of a breathing being that constantly evolves lives. And when we recognize that we move and we live, and listen, we have our being in Him, then it's all about Him and not about us. We belong to the royal and holy family of God. And that means we've got to put our agenda aside. And we've got to stop looking and listening to what the world says and how they operate, and recognize that there is a kingdom standard by which God is expecting every believer to begin operating in and to grow into maturity, and understand that we must be a part of the body that functions like the body, so that God can receive the glory and we can receive the good. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays, make them one as we are one. Why? Because there is power in unity. Now, let me just say this, because when we look at this story, many of us don't understand the power in this word unity. Because in searching out this scripture reference for sermonic presentation, I discovered that this word draws us back to the love of God. And when it talks about unity, it's talking about unity in the love of God. It is by the love of God that we are all bound together as brothers and sisters. That's why the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is through Jesus Christ that we have been brought back to the Father. It is in this same unity of oneness that we have our being in Him. And so we must recognize, because God is love, and we as God's children should demonstrate that love, it ought to at least be done in the house if it ain't done nowhere else. It ought to be demonstrated among brothers and sisters of the faith. The family of faith should be the first ones experiencing the love of God. But how many of our churches do not experience that love? And how sorrowful it is that we come to church and the place we expect to be able to find the love of God, it's scarcely found in many of our meetings. People look at you funny. They whisper under their voices. They talk about you. They criticize you. They do everything but love on you when you need it the most. That's not the way of God. So listen to what this word says, because I want you to see some things, and I'll just walk through it first again and get back to verse 1. It says, behold, focus in now. That's what the word behold means. It literally means to bring something far away up close. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters of the faith, to dwell together. That word dwell means to abide in unity or in the love of God. You can read it like that and it would read well. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in love. That's exactly what it literally means. Now listen to what it says. Verse 2 goes on to tell us, because verse 1 talks about, and the word good, I need to throw out parenthetically, means proper. So how proper and pleasant is verse 1's focus, proper and pleasant. Verse 2 deals with how precious and plenteous, because it talks about it's like the precious ointment that ran from Aaron's head down his beard, all the way down his upper garments down to his lower skirts. Now, if you've got an anointing that flows like that, you got to know you got plenty of anointing. But that anointing, listen, is represented in love. So keep in mind when it talks about how, like a precious ointment, it's talking about the love of God. Listen, he had represented the love of God from the top of his head, running all the way down through his beard. Now, when you talk about anointing and people being anointed, it's usually a spot, just a spot of oil that glimmers and shines when the light hits it to know that you've been anointed. But now look at when the ointment is poured on you, just dripping all the way down, all the way to the bottom of the skirt. That shows a saturation of God's love. That's literally what it's saying. We ought to be so full of God's love till we're saturated. It ought not be a little love here and there. You got to find the love. You ought to be, matter of fact, stuff can't stick to you because you're so saturated with the love of God. They try to hold on to you, and if it's anything that's not like God, it just slips off you. You do know that oil is slippery, don't you? You know, folk can't hold on to you like talking about when you're filled with the anointing, that you're filled with the oil of God, when you're filled with the love of God, because you ain't going to let it hold on to you, and you're not going to hold on to it. And you're careful about how you do things, how you say things, how you handle things, because of that rich anointing, that plenteous love of God. But verse 3 deals with something else. It deals with prosperity and profundity, because it talks about it's like the dew on Mount Hermon and upon Mount Zion. Now, Mount Hermon was a common mountain, but Mount Zion was a holy mountain. Mount Hermon was a place of civil society, but Mount Zion was a place of sacred society. And yet the dew on Mount Hermon and on Mount Zion was unified, listen, so that it replenished all of the moisture that the heat of the day, the dryness, the situations, the circumstances, the troubles, the issues had taken out. The dew refreshed it. It's like the love of God when all of the stuff has hit your life and things have gone wrong, and then you can feel the love of God come in and replenish and replace and refresh you like nothing. And no, can I tell you, he can love you like nobody else can. When folk come there trying to be phony, talking about they love you, this, that, and the other, and it doesn't work, you can feel his love. It's rich and it's real, and it's always there to take those things that are not like us, not for us, not with us, away from us, and he wraps us in the pureness of his love. And so then look at what he does. From there, he commands the blessing of life forever. That's prosperity and profundity. Listen at this. He commands the blessing of life. God does that in the abundance of his love. Anybody got a blessing with their name on it? You got to be in love with God, and God is already in love with you. And when we together in love are having a fellowship, God commands the blessings of life upon you. You ain't got to ask him for nothing. He just start commanding blessings to come, blessings to come, blessings to come. He knows what you have need of. But when you're so busy entwined into him and his love, he starts saying, blessings, I want you to be there when he comes back to this place. I want you to, listen, overtake him. Don't even let him get home without knowing how much I love him. And then he does it forever. That's the profundity of it all. That's how deep it is, how rich it is. Listen, God don't want no little bitty love for a short time. He wants it forever. He wants it to be a real, real love that's pure, rich, and eternal. Now let me get back to verse 1 so I can share with you what I'm trying to get to you. First of all, again, verse 1 says, focus in on how proper and pleasant it is. I need to tell you the word pleasant, of the many definitions, one of the most fascinating ones, and it's certainly fitting for this verse, means sweet music. Sweet music. Now, this is a psalm. Keep in mind, it is a song. It is a song that is sung in the spirit of love. Now, you want to talk about sweet music? Well, I know you think sweet music is the stuff that people play in the world. Sweet love. Yeah, okay, I don't want to. You see, all that's sweet music to you. But sweet music to the Lord, listen, is different from that stuff in the world. When was the last time you wrote a sweet song to God? When was the last time you told him how much he loved you and it wasn't because he gave you stuff? I love you, God, not the stuff you give to me, but you, for who you are. When was the last? The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Well, where the new song going to come from? Who going to write the new song? The lover of God. You ought to be able, from your own experience with God, write a love song to God. To God. Listen, it may not sound like nothing else nobody else has written. And that's all right. Because it's your love song to God. It's out of the relationship you have with God. And I've got news for you. If you keep on writing love songs, they get better. They get better. They get richer. Why? Because God finds himself habitating in those love songs. When you start singing that love song, he says, Jesus, hold up, they singing my song. Ooh, sang son, sang daughter. That he made that song for me. She made that song for me. So pleasant in God's sight is sweet music. Listen, how pleasant now it says it is for brethren. Now this reference is to those of us who are brothers and sisters of the faith. It's not talking about people in the world. Our fellowship is not with the people of the world. It is talking about those of us of like faith with the same calling. Those of us who have been bought with the same price, with the same blood, by the same person. Brothers and sisters with the same Father. Now listen at this. How good, proper, and pleasant it is for those of us, brethren, to dwell. What does the word dwell mean? The word dwell means to abide. It's a compound word from do and well. To dwell means to do well. It means to abide in that frame of mind, doing well. Our fellowship, listen, if we weren't doing good by ourselves, we ought to sure enough do good with each other. Why? Because together we're stronger than we are by ourselves. Did you understand what I said? See, I don't care how low I feel when I come in church, wherever there's two or three, it qualifies for God to come in the midst of that situation. And I ought to feel better just because you're here. And you're a brother or sister who can identify with my sorrows, my troubles, my struggles. And even if you can't, you can encourage me and take me to the one who's able to answer all my prayer, deal with all my issues, feel all my sorrows, and handle all my situations. And I've got you to pray with me for the breakthrough. So I should be better because you're here. You're here. My brother, my sister. And my brothers and sisters, I think I need to tell you three things about this fellowship that makes it so wonderful. Now, keep in mind, unity here represents the love of God. Somebody say the love of God. When it talks about unity here, it's talking about God's love. What a fellowship in God's love. That's why you can't act ugly in this fellowship. Because ain't nothing ugly about God's love. That's why you can't act nasty in this fellowship. Because ain't nothing nasty about God's love. That's why you can't act like you some big you and there's a little me here in this fellowship, because we're all made of the same substance. Listen, he's no respecter of any persons. Listen, in this fellowship, we are all brothers and sisters. Everything that thinks it's more than that got to check itself at the door. Ain't no place in here for it. Ain't no place in here for it. Now listen at this. There are three things that I want to tell you that makes this a wonderful fellowship. The first thing is, it says, again, dwell. Dwell. Now, if we're going to dwell, the first thing you got to do is be present. Somebody say, be present. Present is the first thing you got to be. You can't dwell if you ain't present. Oh, I was there in the spirit. Listen, too many spirits and not enough body make things spooky. We need your body. We need you to be present. We can't have a fellowship if you aren't present. It is less than what it ought to be because you're not there. And God has reserved a place for you. And when that place is empty, it lessens the fellowship. I want you to hear me today, because God is expecting our fellowship of love to represent him. And there's nothing that we should put above him. Nothing. Nothing. Dwell. Abide. Abide. We've got to be as brothers and sisters who look forward to come together, to be one with the Lord and with each other. Listen. I can't tell you how important it is for you to be a part of the fellowship. Listen at this. When you stay home, your praise stays home. Your worship stays home. Your encouragement stays home. Your body stays home. Your money stays home. Oh no, I send my money. where your money still doesn't take the place of you. So presence is important to the fellowship. But then it says, dwell together.